Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting your own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
I said this before the show. Do you think that ChatGPT and AI is killing all our brain power? I'll give the example I gave you. I could not remember how to spell reasonable. Mm-hmm. I was writing notes out today and I was like, what? Like, it took me 5 minutes and finally I was like, I'll just get on Google and look it up.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, like, when I text, it automatically fills it in.
Yep.
When I Google stuff, it automatically fills it in.
Yep.
And I've noticed it for a while and I didn't want to say anything because I thought, well, maybe I've got early onset dementia or something. Is it just everybody, man?
For me, it's what I'll start typing something in. And it doesn't look right. It's spelled right.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
that's not right.
How have I not noticed this doesn't look right my whole life? But yeah, that's what's crazy is I think there is a certain generation where ChatGPT will handicap them in other areas.
Yeah.
So like you and I grew up before the internet, during the onset of the internet, and now AI.
Yeah.
So we've had to think and adapt and learn and think for ourselves along the way and then use those tools to our advantage. You got younger kids, my kids, for example, they haven't lived in a world without the internet and ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And so they're going to struggle figuring things out on their own because of that. It's almost too good of a crutch.
I saw a female comedian, and she was, like, the whole skit was, I'm from Generation X, and you and I are, like, on the fringe by, like, 1 year.
Yeah,
I consider myself an Xer. We were told growing up we were Gen X because we didn't graduate until after 2000, technically.
Yep.
But her thing was, we did something back in the day called critical thinking.
Yeah.
And what we did was we listened to this side and this side, and we took all this information in, and we formed our own opinion.
Yep.
And I feel like the internet, not the internet, but chat and all that stuff is starting to, like, you can definitely see the sway that it has on the way people think, the way they act, their opinions. And I'm not a big, like, doomsdayer or anything like that. But, man, like, it makes me question. We know that people are getting dumber.
Yeah.
Like, how if we know people are getting dumber, how could things get better? It almost seems
impossible. Dumber. I think some are getting smarter with it.
I'm getting dumber. I couldn't spell reasonable today.
I wouldn't blame that on chat.
I'm blaming it on something. Like,
Microsoft Word's had autocorrect for years, so.
I'm usually very well-spoken. I'm articulate. Like, and I literally couldn't spell a word from, like, ninth grade.
Well,
early
onset dementia. It's going to be a long, slow road from down.
Jesus.
So my
my God, dude.
My grandmother passed away a couple of weeks ago. She was 94, and really, like, her last really lucid birthday was like her 90th birthday.
Yeah, because it's been 3 years.
It's been a while where she doesn't know anybody and all that
stuff.
That's
what your dad has been saying, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. So her funeral was more of like a celebration than anything else. I mean, you're on this earth 94 years. Like,
dude,
nobody's sorry she's gone, right? Now, I don't mean that.
That sounds so horrible.
No, yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, she put in her time. She's good.
She enjoyed her life.
Right.
Had a long, full life.
Yeah.
Like, you get sad, and our sad people are gone when they're taken too early.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And so they did this thing where they had everybody share memories, and she spent her entire career from 16 until she couldn't work anymore, which was like in her late 70s or 80s.
Oh, shit.
Doing
she worked that long?
Childcare.
Oh, I hate kids.
Yeah.
Other than my own, and I could barely stand her.
I mean, she started a whole business entity in the church that was childcare.
Mm.
Not just childcare for the church service, but like drop off, pick up,
yeah,
before and after school care, everything. And just hearing all the stories of everything, and it's like, man, that was back before the internet. That's back before everybody had cameras. So this is only memories.
She was whipping ass.
Oh, yeah.
At that school.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't do that now, but
yeah.
It's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, she had a ruler in her back pocket.
There was the boys wanted to play guns. And, you know, as all boys do, they want to play cops and robbers, right? Good guys and bad
guys. She bought them real guns.
No, they had to take all the guns away and anything, any toy that resembled a gun. And they told the boys, like, we can't play cops and robbers or whatever. And one day at lunch, she found the boys chewed their sandwiches into the shape of guns. And they were running around playing cops and robbers. And
that
it's like,
is fantastic.
You cannot take that out of a boy. That is just ingrained in a boy.
No, you cannot take his freedom. I mean, they're working on it, but yeah.
So that reminds me of a joke.
Is this one of your dad jokes or a good joke?
I guess you'll find out.
Oh, God.
So this
continue.
Retired couple, they lived in Minnesota, and they wanted to go down to Florida for the winter. They wanted to go where the weather was nice. And so they were going to fly down there, but they were trying to get down there as cheap as they could, and they couldn't get two seats on the same plane. So they had to fly down. He had to fly down first, and then she was going to fly down the next day. And so he gets down there, and much to his surprise, there's like a little public use internet cafe computer thing down there. And so he's like, oh, cool. I'll email my wife and let her know I'm here. And so he sends his wife an email, only he got one letter off on her name. And so the email actually went to somebody in Texas. And this person in Texas had just buried their husband the day before.
Oh, shit.
And the email read, I've made it here, and they actually have internet. And so she's beside herself as she's reading this wrong person in Texas is reading the email.
I've made it here, and they have
and
internet.
It says, I've made sure everything is ready for your arrival tomorrow. Hopefully your trip is as uneventful as mine was.
Dude, that's hilarious.
P.S. It's really hot here.
That's a good joke.
Speaking of internet and ChatGPT, that's good stuff.
Joke. Oh, so, man. That's
so
pretty good, dude.
You notice something new?
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted me to bring it up or not.
Yeah.
I can't. You are not one of those people that when you speak, you don't open your mouth a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like,
a lot of people won't see them.
Yeah.
Yep. For those that are listening, I got braces last week.
Yeah, for those listening, Mitch is 13 years old and has braces.
Yep.
I can't.
I wanted to do the Invisalign, the trays, but my teeth were way too jacked up for that. Yeah. And they were like, mm-mm, nope, steel wire braces for you.
I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but let's talk about it. I had never even noticed.
Right.
I've known you since we were 12,
mm-hmm.
13 years old. We're 43. I had never even remotely thought Mitch's teeth are crooked.
Yeah.
Never.
They're way crooked, too.
I know they are.
It's not even close.
You showed me.
You
were like, wide open mouth, look at this. And I was like, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. The only time I ever really noticed if they're real bad is if they're like Steve Buscemi bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and he has some kind of condition. I can't remember what it's called. But, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, and I'm not saying, like, I'm above vanity or anything. I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem to matter that much, I guess.
No, I think for me, it was, like, all my kids have had them. My wife had braces as a kid. Like, everyone else in the house has straight teeth. And I was like, yeah, I think it's time.
Can
like,
I ask you a personal question?
What?
Did you want them to be straight? Because you think that people notice and it makes your confidence lower? Or is it I want this for me because I just want this for me? I guess is my question.
Kind of both. I think people don't notice crooked teeth, but they notice straight teeth. And if a person takes care of their teeth really well, then it's kind of like when a guy walks into the interview and he's wearing a tighter shirt and you can tell he's physically fit and you can tell he invests in himself.
Yeah.
You hold that guy to a higher standard than a guy who's overweight, hadn't shaven in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, maybe has a food stain on his shirt or whatever. There's just a different level of care between those two individuals. And so
yeah.
It's kind of this whole, like, as I'm nearing 45, I'm 43 now, but like as I'm nearing 45, like let's hit 45, like in pinnacle health.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, the fitness thing, it doesn't bug me unless I see someone that is like noticeably out of shape.
Yeah.
Like if someone looks like an average healthy individual, but they're not ripped.
Yeah.
I don't think anything about it.
Right.
But I will think of, like, if I see a guy that's like, dude, when was the last time you didn't eat a donut and like
right.
went on a walk? Like I do see that.
Yeah. Yeah. You get,
but I don't know
20% body fat and under, and you're among the healthier part of males.
Yeah. But even though I notice, I don't know if I think any differently about them, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I don't.
I've never really thought about it.
I don't think people consciously think something different, but I think subconsciously it helps you command attention more, command respect better, and all of that stuff.
I think, so. Like all of that being said, I think that, like for you, and this is just what I thought when you said that you got him, I was like, this is just going to make him feel better. And
yeah,
he wants to feel better about himself. That's what I thought initially. Like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. The thing is, like, I have to look at you now for 2 years with green braces.
Well, they won't be green all the time.
Whatever.
I'll probably do silver bands from here forward, but because they change the rubber bands every month.
And when you fuck with me, I have an extra thing to use.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that I'm going to use it, and I don't like it.
I can only imagine guys making wagers for it, like Diaz. I can say,
what do you mean?
I can see him being like, if I win, you have to do black and gold bands on your braces. You know, something like that, because he's a Saints fan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Who knows?
All right. So, hey, what happened with the wager the other night?
Yes.
Yeah, no one knows that they're listening. You went on a date night,
mm-hmm.
and you played mini golf with your wife.
Yep.
And you had went to Facebook for whatever God knows reason and said, what should our wager be?
We were driving, and I'm like, what are we going to wager? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, how about loser has to walk into O'Reilly's and ask for blinker fluid? And she's like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, who says you're going to lose?
I love public humiliation
yeah.
bets. Didn't you have to ride on a motor scooter in your underwear one time?
Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of, I've lost a lot of bets. But
there's nothing better than a good public humiliation bet.
Yeah, I mean, I decimated her. Won by 20 strokes.
Well, that ain't no... I can't believe she thought to make... Like, I might be able to win here.
Yeah, I know. Well, that place... So that putt-putt place is not normal putt-putt.
No, I know.
It's like Maxi Golf.
Yeah.
From Happy Gilmore.
That was horrible at the end of that movie.
It. I mean, there's like... You tee off from like elevated positions.
Yeah.
There's one where you hit the ball and there's like a foosball course that the ball has to go through. And your competitors, the people you're playing against, they get to run the foosball and smack your ball back at the starting line. And there's one where you put your ball in a pinball machine and that's your first shot if you have to get it up in the holes and all
oh,
of that
shit.
Stuff. There was one, we made a video of this one. It's a zip line. And your first stroke is you ride the zip line down and then release the ball at the end and try to make it in the hole. And
that's probably harder than people think.
Yeah, it's very hard. But I put that little video on TikTok. Thing has 750,000 views.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/thevoid or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
It's insane.
The video of you two in the sling?
Yeah. Yeah. I put it on Facebook and it's got like 18 reactions. I put it on TikTok and it's almost a million people.
Dude.
It's crazy.
I don't.
I'm still trying to understand TikTok.
I think I'm going to date myself here. Not that people don't know I'm 43, but I don't understand how people can sit there on their phone and just watch that stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it. And it makes me sound old. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But there's no way that I'm ever going to understand it.
Yeah.
Like, if you came to me and you were like, Dave, okay, we're going fishing or we're going to sit here together and look at our phones.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it, man.
What some people do for entertainment.
I know. I just don't. My problem is I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I don't care what people do. Do whatever the fuck you want. I will say this. For all the people that do it, for everyone that's not doing it, they have an extreme advantage.
Oh, yeah.
The people that are wasting their time every day, all day, doing nothing. On the job, business owners.
Yep.
Just dudes that are trying to pick up hot chicks.
Yeah.
Like anyone. Yeah. Hot chicks trying to pick up hot dudes, whatever. If you go on a date, I see this all the time. You know, and they show the picture and the girl's over there like this for those they aren't watching. They're just looking at their phone. The girl could be a 10.
Yeah.
And if the guy is one of those that, like, actually likes to converse and communicate and have a relationship, you're out.
Yeah.
He might pick a 6.
Yeah.
And your 10 ass is at home. I can't find a good guy. Well, no shit.
Yep.
Like, it just, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And I guess it's one of those things that I'll just never understand.
Yeah. Just generational preferences.
I guess. You seem to be okay with it. Like, well, you spend a lot of, in
spend
the
a,
evenings, you spend a lot of time doing that. I can't even do it in the evening, man.
I spend a lot of time on it, but I consider myself a student of it rather than a consumer of it. Like, I'll watch videos that go viral, and I'm trying to pick out the cues. Why did it go viral? Was it the title? Was it the subject of the video? Can you manufacture that? Or is this just an organic thing that happened, and they were lucky to get it on video? You know, things like that.
You know what is guaranteed every time to go viral? Semi-racist and divisive nature stuff.
Yep.
And Karens.
Yep.
If you have all three of those, watch out.
Yeah, that's why those, like...
Those are the guaranteed.
That's why those people exercising their rights to video and, you know, open carry in places where it's a little concerning, but still legal. That's why those people always go viral.
Yeah.
Is because people love to watch, you know, cops overstep the bounds or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So.
It is entertaining.
It is entertaining.
Those are entertaining.
I'm trying to dive into TikTok and learn more about that. And it is nothing like the others. It's so wild.
I'm not on TikTok.
So.
I'll just have to take your word for it.
It's pretty wild.
What, we've babbled for 20 minutes.
Yep.
What are we going to talk about today?
Today is a rehash of episode 6. As if you're newly joining the show, our first 9 episodes go over the 6 adversities that you need to overcome in order to successfully start your business. And we decided at our 200th show, we decided that 201 through 209, we would rehash episode 1 through 9. And so we're on episode 206, and so we're going to rehash episode 6. And the things that we will be talking about are, should you do a sole proprietorship, an LLC, or an S-Corp? We're going to talk about how to pay yourself, and we're going to talk about how to track your financial performance in the business. So first off, let's talk sole proprietor, LLC, and S-Corp. The reason we're rehashing all of these is because we wanted to see if our opinions changed much in the last 2.5, 3 years.
Yeah.
Three years. And so on this particular subject, the opinions have not changed at all. You will want to set up an LLC for sure. You'll want to avoid a sole proprietorship. The reason why is a sole proprietorship does not offer you any protection in separation from your business to your personal assets.
No, the liability that you created on a job can be pursued to you personally.
Yes.
There is no liability coverage there.
Right.
For you.
And so an LLC stands for Limited Liability Company or Limited Liability Corporation. And it limits your liability. So if you're a plumber and you flood somebody's house and cause $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 in damage, they can only come after your company. They can't come after you personally. And that's huge, especially when you're working in people's homes because accidents happen. And so you want to make sure you're protected there.
Well, and we're in such a litigious society. It doesn't even matter if it's a plumber flooding a house.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lawnmower, what, you know, if someone hit someone's cat, someone busted their irrigation. I mean, people will sue over the dumbest, smallest things.
Yep.
And if you're a sole proprietor, it's you're not going to get insurance, for one. You know, you can't start a business. I mean, you actually can start a business and get a business license under a sole proprietorship, but it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go down to Blue Springs City Hall, what do they ask you for?
Yeah, they want your...
They want your articles of organization, and they want your liability coverage. And you can't even get liability coverage from an insurance agent if you're not registered as an LLC.
Right.
It just makes the most sense.
Yeah. And the reason we say most people start out as an LLC... is just dollars. So the differences between LLC and S Corp. First off, let me hit C Corp real quick. That's the other one that's out there. Nobody listening to this show is going to be concerned about C Corp. C Corp is going to be your big national franchises, your big national chains, your big business.
Yeah. Disregard that.
Yeah. So LLC and S Corp are going to be for the small businesses. And the difference between LLC and S Corp is one is a limited liability company. The other is an S designated corporation. And, that means it's, when it comes to taxes, an LLC is a pass-through entity and it all kind of reflects on your personal taxes. Whereas an S Corp, you're filing corporate taxes for the business and then the pass-through entity of your personal taxes from your personal income to the business. And so if you're making enough money, an S Corp is the right way to go because an S Corp allows you to save money without paying taxes on it as long as it's designated to be spent within the business in the future.
Yes.
And so what obviously you want to consult your tax person for definitive answers. But a good rule of thumb is if you're going to be bringing home under $100,000 a year, an LLC is going to be fine. If you're going to be bringing home over $100,000 a year, then you might need to start considering going to an S Corp. And the reason why that makes a difference is because corporate taxes are significantly more expensive to file. To file taxes for a corporation. So your accountant is going to charge you thousands of dollars more for your corporate taxes than they would for your LLC taxes. And so you need to be making enough money to make that extra tax filing expense worth it. And much like we've done with this whole show, we talk about just the theory of everything. And then we talk about like what I did. And we actually opened up as an LLC, but very quickly on, within 3 months, we realized that we were making enough money that we needed to be doing an S Corp instead. And so we did what's called a late designation, where you can write a letter to the state and let them know that, hey, you're making more money than you thought you were, and you would like to redesignate yourself as an S Corp.
Yeah.
And the state... they do have to accept it. I've never heard of anybody getting declined on that. But they do have to, it's not something you just write the letter and you're good. Like you have to wait for their approval and all of that. But, so we started out as an LLC and then late designated to an S Corp. If you know right out of the gate, like some of you guys that are listening to this show, you're strategizing your startup so well that you've already got a couple of guys that are going to be working for you. You've already got a good flow of work. Maybe you're absorbing a company from your dad or a friend or a relative or something. And that company's already got some profit showing. So, you know, for some people, it's going to be painfully obvious which way you should go out of the gate. But I mean, it's not even the big deal breaker. Like, let's say you did escort, but you only made $80,000 on the first year.
Who cares?
It's not huge.
Would you pay an extra $1,500 to have your taxes done?
Yeah.
It's not going to break you.
It's not the end all be all. There's no fines. There's no penalties or anything like that. It's just the LLC offers you different tax advantages than the S-Corp does. And obviously, this is where you'll have to have conversations with your tax person and your accountant and all of that. But one example of a difference between an LLC and an S-Corp. As an LLC, if you are officing out of your house, you can write off square footage of your home that is used for business. But you cannot do that as an S-Corp. And so, you know, when we started, I was writing off, like the plan was to write off the square footage for the garage where my work truck parked in and for this podcast studio and for the office that we use downstairs. And but then when we did the late designation to S Corp, we lose the ability to write all of that stuff off. And so just little changes like that can make a big difference on your taxes. So obviously check with your tax professional, but know that you can't go wrong with LLC. And as long as your income's $80,000 or more, net income is $80,000 or more, you really can't go wrong with S Corp either. But have that conversation with your tax professional for sure.
Yeah. Most of the time, and I think one of the real reasons we had kind of gone down this path originally was we would always get the answer, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know. If you don't know, you're an LLC.
Yeah.
Okay? You can always go to S Corp.
Yeah.
If you're not going to make that much money, if you don't even know if you want to hire employees, just start as an LLC.
Yep.
You can always move on from that. They did change, and I just wanted to bring it up real quick. You can write a portion of your home office now as an S Corp, but what they do is it's not just like a square footage or whatever. You have to actually like give them how much money you spent on electricity. Mm. And what else is it? Not just electricity, but all your utilities, a part of your mortgage, all of that stuff. It's not just square footage based. It's a very small percentage of that.
Yeah.
And so the tax deduction for it isn't as nearly, it's not nearly as great as the LLC portion is.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's what I was looking up because it just changed not too long ago.
Yeah.
Because last year I was able to do a little bit of mine, but it wasn't near the deduction as when I was an LLC.
And that's a good point. Tax rules change every year. And sometimes tax rules change in arrears. In other words, they'll make a law in early 25 that is actually retroactive all the way through 24.
Yeah, they'll say, hey, you can go back to 23 and now take X deductions.
Yeah.
In which case you have to refile your
taxes. You got to refile, but the deduction might be worth it.
It may be worth it.
And
but that's one of those conversations like you were saying before. Have that conversation with your accountant.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this on the show before this one. If your accountant is dodging those types of questions, doesn't want to make time for you, they're not the right accountant.
Yeah. Yeah, get a different one for sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
Another tax rule that's changed since we filmed this show and since I started my business was meals and entertainment used to be deductible at 100%, and then it was deductible at 50%, and now meals are deductible at 50%, and entertainment's not deductible at all.
Yeah.
And so if you're clever, you'll find a way to classify the entertainment as marketing or employee benefit, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's just straight entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment, when it relates, and it's weird, I just had a talk with our accountant the other day. If it's entertainment in relation to an actual event or a meeting or something that you're doing, like it can't be, entertainment can't be the sole reason.
Right.
There has to be another convention, meeting, something going on, and then while they're there, you're going to entertain them,
yeah,
per se. That is a write-off.
Yes.
That is a marketing expense, or what, you know, however you want to classify it.
Yeah.
But it is a, it's a gray area.
Yep.
And that's one of those things. I know I just said this, but ask your accountant.
Yep.
I asked, we had a Tradewinds deal last month, and I asked her yesterday, immediately,
yeah,
responded, hey, in XYZ case, yes. In this case, no. What do you want to do?
Right.
Okay, let's roll with it. You know,
yep,
in our case, it worked out. So,
yeah. Real quick, we're gonna try something different here. We're changing up the way that we do one of our ads, and so we're gonna do a live read for an ad here, real quick. So,
okay.
Here is a message from our sponsor. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company that's ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It has advanced features for your customer relationship management, for your estimates and invoices, scheduling and dispatching, good, better, best proposal options, maintenance plans, price books, and more. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're currently using, software like QuickBooks Online and your desktop or your Mac. So now you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you do work. By simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. It's not just us saying that. It's not just us saying this either. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8 star rating across nearly 600 reviews. That's really difficult for a CRM, by the way. So to learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's field, P-U-L-S-E.com. So,
hey, look at you getting through that read.
Yeah.
First time, buddy.
We're gonna,
nice job.
We're going to do a live read on Field Pulse ads from now on. So, yeah, there you go. There was the first one out of the gate. So
I do like the people that work at Field Pulse.
Yeah. Yeah, and ironically, we're going to be able to kind of circle back around to what Field Pulse can do on the latter half of this conversation. So next up on the docket is we want to talk about how to pay yourself. When you're new into business and you don't have full running payroll yet, you have a business bank account, you're collecting money from jobs, you're paying vendors with it, and somehow you got to get that money into your bank account, your personal bank account, as pay, as income. And so what you do is you take what's called an owner's draw, and you will be taxed on all of that money. And so an owner's draw is literally where the business writes a check to you personally. And then that money flows from the business to your personal account. There are other ways to do owner's draws and arrears. We'll talk about that in a second. But for the most formal way to do it, like if you're trying to pay yourself $1,000 a week, then you would write the check for $1,000 a week to yourself personally. Now, what you need to do to be ready for the tax man is you have to pay taxes on all owner's draws. And so
yes,
a good rule of thumb for taxes is set aside 30%. And so if the business writes you a check personally for $1,000, then once that money's in your personal bank account, you need to open up another personal bank account and call it a tax savings account. All these places with online banking, you can name your accounts whatever you want, right? And so you're going to name that one your tax savings account. And so then you take your $1,000 check from the business, you deposit it in your personal checking, and then you move 30% of that deposit over to your tax savings account.
Yes.
$300. And every time you pay yourself, you need to move 30% into that tax savings account. Because what's going to happen at the end of the year, you're going to have to pay taxes on all of your income. And you need money to do that. And so setting that money aside is an easy way to do that. Otherwise, let's say you've paid yourself about $100,000. Are you ready to stroke a $30,000 check at the end of the tax parameter? Like, that's how people get into the IRS really fast and really deep. Is let's say 2 or 3 years of newly running an LLC and they didn't set aside money for taxes and they thought if it was in the bank account, they could spend it. And next thing you know, the tax man's asking for $60,000 or $90,000.
Yeah.
And that's one battle you will never win. because they will, they'll just reach in and take it out of your account. They'll freeze your accounts. They'll freeze your assets. The IRS don't play.
No, they don't. They do not play.
And so you gotta you gotta make sure you're ready for that.
One thing that my mindset has changed in one area specifically about this, and it's because of what I've seen in Tradewinds, and no one we have on right now, but when guys take owner's draws and they start using their business account to fund their personal lives, they get lost.
Yep.
Because they don't have the discipline to set that money aside.
Yep.
So if at all, if you know that you lack discipline, do not take owner's draws. Just put yourself on payroll if you think you can do it at all. We have had a handful of guys in Tradewinds that literally owe tens of thousands of dollars because they didn't have the discipline to set that money aside through taking owner's draws. And I think just the sense of taking money through owner's draws is what started that problem for them. Mm-hmm. And I think if they could have been on payroll to start, they wouldn't have gone down, you know, that rabbit hole and been in trouble later.
Yeah.
And then had to climb out of it.
Yeah.
If you're disciplined and you can do it, just take owner's draws, like Mitch was saying, set 30% aside. If you're not disciplined enough to do that, try to put yourself on payroll if you can.
Yeah.
Try to come up with a good, you know, pay structure, a minimum plus a quarterly bonus would be very nice. I have seen, and not just in Tradewinds, you know, since we started Tradewinds, you know, I'm in a lot of other HVAC groups and a couple of plumbing groups and, you know, like Blue Collar Millionaire for, you know, for instance and stuff. And it's, I seem to see three or four of those a month almost where it's, I'm in tax trouble because I was doing this. And it almost always comes down to, I was writing myself checks.
Yeah.
And I wasn't setting that money aside because, and the IRS doesn't care if it's ignorance.
No.
You can't go to the IRS and say, well, I didn't know.
Right.
Will they give you leniency and allow you to pay that back on a plan? Yes. They're going to charge you interest and it's going to cost you even more.
Right.
But you're still going to owe that money. It's not student loan debt where Biden's just be like, okay, it's gone.
Right.
You know, you're going to have to pay that back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just one thing that's changed since the last time we did, you know, had this talk.
Yeah. So the difference between owner's draws and payroll, payroll is going to be run through a software like QuickBooks, Paylocity, Paychex, Gusto. There's a lot of different payroll companies out there. And essentially, when you're on payroll, you're using a software or a system or a service to run your payroll for you. And you're telling the software, what are my gross earnings? And then the software is automatically doing your tax deductions based off of how you filed your taxes.
Yeah.
How you filled out your W-4.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in those cases, you're paying taxes in every time you get paid. But on owner's draws, nobody's paying taxes in until you do your taxes. And so that's why you have to have the discipline to set the money aside.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times guys will just take owner's draws because they don't understand how that all works.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple, okay? Just Gusto, for example. If you have under 5 employees, it costs you like $52 a month, okay? And you just enter their payroll into Gusto, okay? Gusto says, okay, I'm writing a check to Mitch Smedley for $1,000. I am going to write a check to the Missouri State and Federal and all that for X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Gusto goes into your QuickBooks, pulls that money out, sends that money to Mitch, sends that money to the state, sends that money to federal. It costs you $52.
Right.
It's literally that simple. You're paying, what's QuickBooks now, 65?
Yeah.
So you're paying $110 a month for under 5 employees to have your banking and your payroll and everything tied together. And their dashboard is extremely easy to use. And I'm not pushing Gusto.
Right.
But they're all the same.
Yeah.
It is extremely easy. But I think guys and gals are afraid to start that process because they don't know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it is super, super easy and user-friendly. Even, and I know Gusto, that like you get a rep.
Yeah.
My rep emails us all the time. Hey, would you like to add this benefit? Would you do this? Would you do that? If you have any questions, email me here.
Mm-hmm.
You can email them the dumbest questions in the world. They will get back to you. Phone calls are included.
Yeah.
Okay, it's $52.
Yeah. So a natural progression here is like, if you're your only employee, then you're probably just taking owner's draws and you're setting the money aside. But the moment you hire somebody, now you have to get them on payroll because they need paid. And so the natural progression is once you get your employees on payroll, then usually you go ahead and jump on payroll. And what the IRS is looking for when it comes to payroll, because you're as a business owner, you're going to be taxed differently on payroll versus bonuses. And so you're required by the IRS to, quote unquote, take a reasonable salary. But they don't define what reasonable is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're managing a plumbing company, a reasonable salary is probably 75 to 100 grand a year. Okay. And you may get into trouble if you're taking a salary of smaller than that. In other words, you're not going to be able to get away with paying yourself $5,200 bucks a year on a salary and then $95,000 a year in bonuses.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably do 50,000.
You might be able to go as low as 50.
That. Yeah.
So, but you save about half of the tax on bonuses as a business owner. And so you don't want to get into that trap. Something I alluded to earlier was owner's draws in arrears. And what that means is if you use the wrong card somewhere or you don't have the money in your personal account to pay for something and so you have to pay for this personal thing out of your business account, what happens is you when you're coding all of your transactions in QuickBooks, the legal way to do that is you code that transaction as an owner's draw. I did this recently. I made a mistake. My son's truck needed some work, and it was about an $800 bill, and I just walked into the truck repair place, and I accidentally pulled out my business credit card, and I put it on the business card. Whoops. And I didn't know it, like I didn't recognize it until I was walking out and like looking at the receipt. And it's just a habit that I'm in of like, do I need to keep this receipt or not? Because if it's business, I got to keep it. Right.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and I'm like, oh crap, I used the wrong card. Immediately I text my wife and I said, hey, the transaction here at the transmission shop, that needs to be coded as an owner's draw. I goofed. And that's for our son's truck and not a company truck.
Yeah.
So she codes it as an owner's draw and we're fine. So that was an $800 transaction. I still owe taxes on that owner's draw. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will have to pay 30% tax on that amount. So $250 in tax or somewhere around there in taxes. So
ish,
but that's how you would do stuff in arrears. Is if you've accidentally used the wrong card, you just label that personal purchase as an owner's draw.
I label all my personal things as Mitch Smedley owner's draws.
Oh, yeah. I bet you do. I bet you do. The last thing that we want to talk about on this show is tracking your performance. And we track performance in two different ways. We track performance through key performance indicators, and those are key performance indicators are kind of like how we've been. And then another way that we track performance is through some projections, which is how are we gonna end up? Okay, so key performance indicators. The reason you would track certain things in business is because what gets measured improves. Anybody who's ever gone on a diet has started looking at the scale.
Yeah.
And guess what happens when you start really focusing on the scale and really focusing on your diet? Your weight improves.
You stop eating that extra Twinkie dog.
Right. And so if you're counting your calories, nobody's ever really counted calories before, but hey, I'm starting a new diet. I'm gonna count calories. And oh my gosh, this is crazy. Real life story. My wife, through her weight loss journey, had kind of hit a plateau, and she was like, you know, I'm drinking coffee for energy and I just don't see where all, like I'm still not in a calorie deficit. And I'm like, well,
In that coffee, girl?
I said, yeah. I said, I've seen you glug, 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 glug creamer into your coffee. And
a lot of sugar in there.
And so she was like, well, it's just creamer. And I'm like, there's a lot of calories in creamer.
Because it's so fucking good.
And hazelnut. And so we counted it out, and she was having like a 600 calorie coffee.
Holy sh! Every time she had
time she had a coffee, it was like 600 calories, and so
there's no coffee in there.
Oh, it was it's
just
half creamer. Yeah, it's half creamer. Yeah. So, but the reason I'm bringing that up is like that's a truth to the concept of what gets measured improves. She started counting calories, and then all of a sudden she realized an area where she could improve. I got to put less creamer in my coffee.
Yeah.
And so, that happens everywhere in business. And so the big things that we want to track in business is we want to track total number of jobs ran. We want to track total number of jobs sold. And we want to track total sales. And there's a lot of other things we want to track, but those three help you gauge your performance in the field. Because you're able to say, okay, I've run four jobs. I made a sale on three of them. That's a 75% close rate, conversion rate. And then when I did all of this work, I made $1,500 out of these four calls. So we take our 1,500 and we divide that by the three calls that we made a sale on. And so our average sale is $500. So we have a 75% conversion and a $500 average ticket. Well, we track that long enough, 2-3 months, and now when we have good months, we're able to look at our KPIs and understand why was this month good.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about here with this tracking. This is what separates people that own a job to own a business. Owning a job is you have no employees, and if you aren't going to work that day, the business makes no money. Owning a business means the business is making money without your minute by minute or hour by hour involvement.
Yeah.
And the only way to go from owning a job to owning a business is by tracking metrics. Because if I have a good month, like let's look back to when I first started and it was just me. I had some months where I sold 40 or 50 grand. I had some months where I sold 20. I have all of the KPIs from back then.
Yes, you do.
I still have them.
I know. We go over them once in a while with the guys in Tradewinds, and it's at first I thought it was a real problem you had, but it's fantastic. The fact that you started day one and can go back and look and have a real, game plan of what happened, a game film of what has happened over the last. How long has it been? 3 years, 5 years, whatever it's been?
5 years.
I don't want to kiss your ass. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, so the reason why is like, okay, if I had a $20,000 month one month and a $40,000 month the next month, why?
Yeah.
Like, I want to avoid the $20,000 months and I'd like more of the $40,000 months. But why were they different?
Yeah.
And if I'm not tracking anything, then I'm operating off of feelings.
Yeah.
And we talk about this a ton in Tradewinds. Feelings have no place in business.
I feel like I had a down month because of X.
Right.
I feel like I had a down month because I shouldn't have said X. I feel like I had a down month because my call volume was down.
Right.
I feel like I had a down month because my sales were down. Well, what the hell was it?
Right.
The only way you can go back and look is if you actually wrote down what the fuck happened.
Right. Right. That would be like a cop trying to give you a ticket because they feel like you were speeding. But they had no bearing to know how fast you were actually going, right? Yeah. You could have just been driving around in a loud car in first gear, and it sounds like you're screaming down the road, but you're doing 25.
Yeah.
Same in business. We want to track off of known numbers. And so now, if I have a good month or a bad month, I can go compare the two. How many calls did we run in the good month versus the bad month? Oh, we ran the same number of calls. Well, okay. If we ran the same number of calls, then our conversion and our average ticket are significantly different, right? And if our conversion drops, then we're making less sales. If our average ticket drops, when we do make sales, those sales are smaller. Yeah. If we run less calls, we're going to make less sales unless we find a way to get our conversion through the roof, right? And so all three of those numbers play against each other very well. In between, those are the three core numbers. Calls ran, conversion rate, and average ticket. Those are the three core numbers that are going to set your tracking apart from everyone else's. And this isn't just in service, too. This could be new construction. I did five jobs last month. I did a big house and then two or, you know, a couple of remodels, right? Well, okay. Yeah. So on our KPI, we have five jobs. We had an opportunity at seven jobs. We lost the bid on two of them. We sold five.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a conversion, right? Of those five jobs that we sold, the average value of the job was X. And so now we're still tracking those things. And so now we can go month to month to month and we can learn, okay, I did kick ass this month and I flopped this month. Why? And now we can go back and say, well, I ran less jobs or I ran more jobs and I still lost. Why? Oh, they were tiny, tiny jobs.
Yeah.
And I need to get the average ticket up or whatever the case may be. And so,
yeah, I only sold flappers all last week. That's all I sold. I couldn't get a full rebuild. I couldn't,
right.
You know,
right.
Whatever.
These KPIs are like game film in sports. We're going to go, like, we win or lose a game, we're going to go watch game film and learn, why did we win? Why did we lose? Why did our offense decimate their defense? Why did our defense stand up and hold their offense? You know, all of those things. And KPIs are the exact same thing. They are our game film.
Well, and they can reiterate good behavior.
Yeah.
Man, I've been telling the team this, and last month they met their conversion. They met their average ticket goal. So I know what I'm telling them is working. I
yep.
know the options that they're giving are working.
Yep.
Like it can really, I think a lot of times guys, when they own a business and they have employees underneath them, they second guess themselves a lot. And I think actually knowing what's going on because of what's being said and how you run your business can, like, it can just positively, what do I want to say here, Mitch? It can tell you that you're making the right decisions and keep you from stop second guessing yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a whole lot of people out there that are just running blind and they're running their business by their bank account.
Yeah.
And as soon as they get some cushion in their bank account, that cushion stops growing and the motion in their business kind of plateaus. And so these KPIs are how we continue down the path and how we continue to improve things. I heard a quote, ironically, today that says, in the workplace, if good work ethic is not recognized and bad work ethic is not chastised, then all motivation is gone. And so, in other words, if you've got a team of people, let's say you got two guys working for you and one is busting his ass and you don't praise him for it, and another guy's dragging ass and you don't chastise him for that, both of them become unmotivated. Because
which is crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Why would the high performer continue to perform highly if he's not recognized for it, if you're not seeing it as his leader or her leader? And then why would the low performer even care to give a shit if you're not going to chastise him for how he's performing? He's not going to care, right?
No, he's going to think everything's good and he's just going to keep rolling the same way every day.
Right. It's like Office Space, working just hard enough to not get fired every day, right?
Yeah.
And so you've got to learn to celebrate the behaviors that you want repeated. And the only way to know those behaviors is to track your key performance indicators. The next subject with this is what I call our huddle sheets or our projection sheets. What these are is I take the daily summary of my key performance indicator and I plug it into a different sheet. So I'll have total sales, total conversion, total average ticket, total calls ran, all of this stuff. And that sheet is custom built each month, and it's just copied and pasted and then adjusted for the number of days in each month. But that sheet will take the current performance through the month and then forecast, if we continue to stay on this track, here's how we're going to end up. And so, like, at the date we're filming this, it's the... there's 21 business days in this month. And
is this August?
That's
not right, is it?
Yeah, there's 21 business days in August, and we are on day, we just completed day 7. So we're 1/3 of the way through this month. And I can look at my huddle sheet, and I can see our conversion and our average ticket for the month so far. I can see how much revenue we've done each day to get an average daily revenue. And then I can, I've got the sheet built to where it'll extrapolate all that out and say, if you continue running at this pace, you're going to finish out the month with this much revenue. And this is really key in a business that you're wanting, like you have plans and goals for. Because how, like, I get now like a 1 to 2 week heads up on how we're going to be at the end of the month financially.
Yeah.
Right now we're pacing for a record revenue month in our company. But we're only 1/3 of the way through the month, and a lot can happen in the back 2/3.
Yeah.
But as of right now, we are pacing for more revenue than we've ever done in a single month in the company. And so that's letting me know that, hey, we're trending okay. We're not going to flop this month, right? But it, I mean, we still got to drive hard
You can't sink or swim on the first 7 days.
Right, yeah. Right. That's like trying to say we're going to win this game by just looking at the first quarter performance. You need to look at the first quarter performance and understand why are we winning, and then repeat and repeat and repeat through the second, third, fourth quarters.
Yeah, and right? If you're not tracking any of that stuff, to your point from before, how are you going to know?
Right. Imagine going to a baseball game and you can't watch the score.
Yeah.
You can't see all the innings. You can't see all the runs. You can't see all the hits. You can't see anything. And so a team loses, and you don't know why they lost.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because they weren't hitting well. Well, how many hits did they have? I don't know. I think it's because we left too many guys on base. Well, how many did you leave on base? Yeah. I don't know.
How many errors were there?
Right. And so, like, we track stats everywhere. It only makes sense that you track them in business as well. So,
you know,
One thing that transpired is when we did these original 9 episodes, I spent a lot of time trying to explain what's on my sheets. And those tracking sheets are probably one of the big catalysts for what actually created Tradewinds.
Oh, because I agree 100%.
If you join Tradewinds, I give you my sheets, like blank copies of my sheets. It's included with your Tradewinds membership. And we give you like tutorial videos for how to fill them out, what the numbers mean. We give you videos for how to replicate them next month. You know, okay, you did your June sheet. Now let's go make a July sheet and then make an August sheet and all of that stuff. And I mean, each one of those videos is like an hour long, and here we are trying to explain it in 15 minutes. So
yeah,
like these sheets track a whole lot more than just the 3 things that I've talked about. They track number of tasks sold on every call. They track maintenance plan opportunities versus maintenance plans sold. They track we track Google reviews. I track warranty calls. Like all of this stuff gets tracked in these sheets. And I even took the sheets and turned it into my payroll sheet. Like this is how I pay my guys.
Yeah.
I've got all the information to pay them because everything they do is rewarded monetarily.
It sucks everything off of that beginning sheet and just puts it over there on the right-hand column and says, okay, this is how many task hours they had.
Yep.
It's right here.
Yep.
Pull payroll.
And so if number sheets are something that's very, very ominous to you, I suggest joining Tradewinds even at the bottom level, the crew level of Tradewinds. And even if you don't join us for a long time, you're just with us for a month or two, you can grab all of this data from us and watch the videos and then just use it going forward.
I don't know if I told you this. So they're on the resources section that the public can see on the tradewindsconsulting.com, right? The 5-day call board sheet that we have for guys to schedule out their calls, that's I just made it a free download.
Gotcha.
Anybody can go on there and download that. Like if you just want to see how some of our sheets work or need a way to schedule your calls,
yeah,
just download it and use it. We don't give a shit.
Yeah,
well, Mitch might, but I don't give a shit. It's
so
free on there.
What the 5-day call board is it's a live document that I get emailed. My CSRs emailed this to me at the end of every business day. So about 5:10, 5:15, I get an email that is a filled out 5-day call board. And it changes every day. But what it is it's a graph that shows how we finished out today on the schedule and then how we are looking for the next 4 days on the schedule.
Yeah.
And I've got my 5-day call board built for service techs and installers because I want to know what's my service schedule and what's my install schedule. And it lets me know, okay, we finished out today at 100% capacity on the schedule. We were full.
Yeah.
We're starting tomorrow at my goal is that we want to start tomorrow at a 67% capacity. And then 2 days out, I wanted a 33-day capacity or 33%
66 capacity. And then 33, I think is what it's set up at.
And then everything after that, we want 25% capacity.
Yeah.
And so as we're recommending this to guys, this is more on the service side of things, but there are guys that will pack tomorrow's schedule and the next day's schedule and the next day's schedule. And then when they come to a call that's bigger than they thought, or they get an emergency call like a busted water heater or busted water line or something like that.
My meter caught fire on the side of my house.
Right.
I have to have power today.
Yeah, you know? Like you can't run that call because you overbooked your schedule. And so booking tomorrow's schedule at only a 67% capacity leaves you room for two great things. One is it leaves you room for a call that's already on tomorrow's board to get big and you're not rushed. You can complete it.
Yeah.
Or you can take an emergency call. And most guys are afraid to schedule like that. And it is kind of ominous. I mean,
it can be.
I look 3 or 4 days ahead in my schedule and I see ghost towns and dust. And I'm like,
don't panic.
But it's because we do this way on purpose. But let's say the emergency call doesn't come in and none of my calls today get big. Well, guess what? I now have like a whole call slot per person in the field. I now have like a whole call slot of whatever I want to do. Does my truck need an oil change? Hey, I can go get that done now. I got time.
Yeah.
Do I need to go to the supply house and dump trash and get parts and all of that stuff? Cool. I can do that.
Yeah.
Do I want to kick off early this afternoon and just enjoy, you know, getting home at the time my kids get home from school? I could do that. Or if you're really busy, it's just you had an opening. No customer has ever gotten upset when they were on the schedule for tomorrow and you call them up and you're like, hey, we ran ahead of schedule today. Are you by chance available today?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they'll say yes and move their schedule around, but they will not get upset at you for offering an earlier spot on the schedule.
Yeah, tomorrow, the next
later.
Day, whoever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you got. Or if you're a business owner, instead of doing your paperwork at 6 o'clock at night, maybe you go do it now.
Yeah, maybe you do it in the afternoon.
Maybe you fill out that KPI sheet that you haven't filled out in 2 fucking weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So that's essentially how this whole podcast turned into Tradewinds. Was we can tell you a lot of this stuff, but Tradewinds is actually like implementing it for you. We give you the documents, we give you the tools that you need, whereas the podcast kind of tells you how to make the tools on your own. Like the price book, you can buy the price book from us and save yourself 1,000 hours from trying to build your own.
Yeah.
You know, your tracking documents and all of that stuff. We've even got payment calculators in there for like payroll, like how you would come up with different pay plans to pay your guys and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of our guys are hourly plus bonus.
Yeah.
Like Mitch built a sheet for that through Excel. That's like, hey,
yeah,
if you want to change your bonus structure to 10% over $7,500 or 8% over $5,500, whatever,
yeah,
it works out.
Yeah, we give you some sheets to let you know what that looks like ahead of time and make sure that it's budgetable and make sure you're not overpaying or underpaying your guys. So I didn't really intend for this to be a Tradewinds sales pitch, but there's a lot of guys that hear an episode like this and they get intimidated and, you know, don't have to be intimidated. If you're not an Excel wizard and you don't like building spreadsheets, you can buy spreadsheets just by joining Tradewinds, and then all of that resource is free to you.
Yeah, we don't do the stupid, oh, you got to sign up for a year. But no, sign up 1 month, download the shit, and bail.
I'm not going to knock House Call Pro or Service Titan, but I am going to say,
yeah,
there's a lot of everything is, oh, that's not included in your package. That's extra. That's extra. That's extra.
No, you get it all, dog.
Yeah. And so in Tradewinds,
except for the price book,
right. You do have to buy the price book. But yeah, everything,
one caveat,
everything else is included in there. So,
yeah.
That's gonna wrap up things for today's show. Tomorrow or next week's show, is one that I'm excited for. It's always been my favorite episode. It's over community involvement work. That's really neat. One thing I do want to remind you on is we still subscribe to the idea that everything we've talked about up till now, your preparation steps, you need to have all of these done before you start your company. Because otherwise what's going to happen is you're going to get off and running, and then you're going to be wondering, I don't have, like, where do I find the time to make these sheets? Where do I find the time to learn how to do this?
Yeah.
The time to learn all that is before you start. We have three more episodes of these shows. Those three episodes are things that you can do after you get up and running that will only make your business stand out even more.
Yeah.
And it's actually probably going to end up being four more shows instead of three.
What?
But, yeah. because we're going to rehash episode number 36, which is how to get Google reviews.
Oh, and that's probably important. Because
that's a really important one. Yeah.
Changed a lot.
And so we're going to talk about that as well. But if you guys are enjoying these rehash of the original core shows, let us know. Feel free to shoot us some comments on, you know, YouTube, Facebook, any of that stuff. And we like to engage with that stuff really well. If you have any questions about anything, our emails are in the description of this show. No matter where you're listening to it, our emails are in there. You guys can email us whatever you want to. My email is, and David's in there as well. Obviously, we have two different personalities, and so your question might be better suited for one of us versus the other.
I'm not answering
or
any questions.
Or you can email them both. It just kind of depends.
I want to say one more thing.
Yep.
Don't put off setting money aside for your taxes.
Yep.
Don't put off filing your taxes, okay? And get in the habit before you start your business to understand numbers, track numbers. When you start tracking immediately. Those are two of the biggest holes in guys' businesses that we see.
Yep.
Taxes, how to handle money, and tracking.
Yep.
They don't. Let's be honest. No one wants to do those two things. They are very similar. They don't want to do them. And they put it off, and they say, I don't have time, and they make excuses. It is worth getting in the habit to be on top of those two things, maybe more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why we say all these prep steps to now, you want to get these done before the business starts.
Agreed.
Because if you don't do it before the business starts, then you're starting on a bad foundation, and it's very difficult to fix a bad foundation after the house is built. It's very easy to fix a bad foundation before the foundation's ever even laid. So,
agree, buddy.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.